My, what a blessing it's been this week. How many of you feel like you're a happy tree this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Tree planted by the rivers of water. Well, are you ready for the Word of God this morning?
Amen.
This morning we're going to go continue with Psalm number 1, only we're going to go a little deeper into verse number 3 this morning. Psalm 1, verse 1, read through verse 6, which is the whole psalm. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Today we're going to talk about the prosperity gospel. This is a term that has been given some really bad press by phony TV preachers who dupe the poor and the desperate into sending what little money they have to them with the false promise that God is going to make them rich because they do. And I could name you a whole list of names off of Sunday TV and all during the week, and this is all they do. These fakes and these phonies are going to have a lot to answer for when they face the Lord. And you can be sure that the reckoning they face will come at the white throne judgment of the unsaved for most, if not all, of them. What may be worse than duping poor lost people out of what they have, what may be worse may be the true purpose of Satan's plan, and that could be to cause the overreaction of real believers, and thus they miss out on what God really teaches about prosperity. The gospel is the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for our sins according to the scriptures. This is the gospel. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. The gospel is the means by which, and the only means by which, that you can go to heaven. It is the only means by which you may have your sins forgiven, is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, having said that and made that, I think, vividly clear to you, the word gospel means an announcement of good news or of a good message. The death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord is for us certainly the best message in the Bible. That's the message that's going to keep us out of hell. That's the message that's paid our admission to our home in heaven. But there is lots of other good news as well. One of those good messages is the message of God's desire that his children should prosper. Don't let the evil deeds of a few false preachers cause you to miss out on what God has for each and every one of us. This is especially important in light of how that God wants us to use the blessings with which he desires to bless us. It's not just for you to have. God's got plans for you to be involved in his work. And it takes his blessings to be able to do that efficiently and effectively. So today we're going to talk about the real prosperity gospel, the true good news of God's desire that you should prosper. To you who may be skeptical about this, let me share with you just a couple of Bible facts. There are more than 2,000 Bible verses that speak to us about finances. And finances is not the whole of prosperity by any means. That's about 10 times the number of scriptures that speak to us about salvation. Now, that's really simple enough to understand if you realize. How many times can you get saved? You get saved once. How long does it last?
Forever.
How often do you have to deal with finances and success and failure? It should not be any mystery that God has put a lot more in the Bible about that than he has on how to be saved. You get that taken care of. But you've got to deal with life which is issues of all kinds of success, failure, financial, and every other kind, every single day that you breathe. If you come to love God's Word, as I believe most of us are coming to love, as we learned last week, you're obviously going to expose yourself to the wisdom that leads to prosperity. Psalm 112 is a scripture that we also used last week, but I want to take you back to it and just let you hear the kind of a promise, the kind of a blessing that God is pouring out to us. It says, praise ye to the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. Do you fear God this morning? That delighteth greatly in his commandments. Do you love God's word this morning?
Amen.
His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. That kind of predisposes that he has a house too, right?
Yeah.
And his righteousness endureth forever. Psalm 34:7, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, as important as finances are to each of us, prosperity covers much, much more than just money and just possessions. This term covers all good things. It covers health. It covers relationships. It covers a good name. And we could talk all day long about all that this term covers for us. Now, all the good things come from one source. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. Do you realize that means that he doesn't just have it for this one, but not for that one? He doesn't have it for those, but not for them? No variableness. Think about that for a minute. Neither shadow of turning. He's not going to cut you out of the blessing, and he's not going to turn your back on you. We know that life has its seasons, don't we? The older you get, the more you know and understand about the seasons of life. And we know that we all have an appointment with death. And we all know that Christian life is going to contain some suffering, don't we? Yet I believe, and I think I'll ask you, can you believe this morning that God desires prosperity for you in all of these areas that we've been talking about? Can you believe that this morning? Have you gotten to know him well enough and closely enough and to experience his love enough that that's becoming easy for you to believe? Well, that's good. You're a really good place if you can believe that. And you realize that if you're saved this morning, your spirit doth already prosper?
Yes.
Your soul has arrived. Ladies and gentlemen, you indeed have it made. And there's nobody or nothing that can unmake it. It's guaranteed. Our home in heaven is a for sure, absolute, completed. You put any one of those adjectives on there you want and add them all up, and you still won't have described how magnificent that so great salvation is that we heard about a couple weeks ago. You have it made. God's desire for you is just like John, the apostle's wish for one of his beloved brothers in Christ. We read about that wish that he makes. Did you know there are wishes in the Bible? It's the words in there. John, it's 3 John verse 2. John says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Today, as we break down Psalm 1, verse 3 a little bit further, I want you to relate what you hear to all areas of God's blessing. I want you to relate it to money and finances. I want you to relate it to all those other areas like health and family and a good name and being used of God to reach others and more. Don't just let it center in on one little thing, because it covers so much more than that. Psalm 1 verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Psalm 92:12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. How many of you can say praise God extra for that?
Praise God.
Amen. And they shall be fat and flourishing. Okay, so now you are one of God's happy trees. You are now planted in the house of the Lord. You are being exposed regularly to the water of the Word of God. You're feasting regularly on the nourishment that comes from the Word. You now love God's Word and you yearn to hear more and more of it. I hope that describes every last one of us present here today. And I know that it describes a whole bunch of us, for sure. So now, here are four principles that you should know that's going to help you stay encouraged and to genuinely prosper. The first one is I want you to see this term shall be. It says, he shall be. This verse doesn't speak of what you are. It speaks of what you're going to be. It takes some time to get from being planted to flourishing prosperity. There's some time that's going to have to be spent in that process. There is so much to learn. Much of it cannot be quickly learned. Romans 4, verse 5, in verses 1 through 4, says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. There's a process going on here. Patience is waiting. It is enduring the process. Experience cannot come without enduring the process. It comes no other way. No other way. It's the only way you get it. Dealing with the troubles of life according to God's plan, patiently waiting for the outcome, and then the experience of seeing God handle the problems according to His promise, that cannot take place quickly. It takes time. It takes events. It takes going through trouble. Brother Darrell shared a blessing this morning about he was going through some trouble, and then he got to watch God step in and just handle it according to His promise. He now has some experience that he didn't have before, and that experience has caused him to have a confidence in God on a level that he did not have before. That's what that hope business is all about. This term hope, that enduring all of this produces, means confidence in God, and it only comes one way. But ladies and gentlemen, it is worth the wait. It is worth going through the process. John, in 1 John 3, in verse 18, he says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. The next time a situation like that comes, Brother Darrell is going to have the confidence to ask God to handle it, knowing exactly what God will do because of the experience that he has, quote, experienced. There's so very much to learn, and it takes time to do it. You must discover your purpose. And you must take that purpose to heart. Nobody can do that for you. That's yours and yours alone. You must learn to see yourself as a servant. A good one or a bad one, either may be, but you are indeed a servant if you belong to the Lord this morning. That's what we are. We must learn the principles of stewardship. You realize that we are not owners. We don't own anything. We are managers of what God has placed in our care, what belongs to God. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 1 says, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Stewardship is the proper handling of what God has placed in your care, whatever that is. Sometimes it's knowledge. Sometimes it's scriptural doctrine. Sometimes it's material possessions. Sometimes it's money. Everything that's good comes from God, and it's placed in our care as stewards. Why would God give you more if you're not taking care of what he's already given you? You have to learn those lessons and overcome those negative tendencies that we have in order to be moved forward in this process of being planted and then flourishing prosperity. There's a pretty good gap between those two. But I want you to not be discouraged by that. Many of you are in the middle of this process. How many of you feel like you're dead in the middle of this process? Yeah, amen. Well, trouble comes. It's emotional. It's financial. It's your physical health. It's always something. There's always some new trouble around the next bend in your life. You try this and you try that and you make some wrong choices. And sometimes you actually listen to God and you get it right. And when you do, then you grow a little bit and you get a little bit wiser. And you don't make exactly that same mistake next time. But you've got plenty that you're still making because you're in the process. When prosperity finally comes, and if God be true, it will come. It comes. When prosperity finally comes, oh, it's great. But that is not what you will remember the most. You won't remember the prosperity. Today I want for nothing. I live in a beautiful house. I drive a nice vehicle. I wear nice clothes. Our pantry is always full. And I get to win souls to Jesus for a living. Prosperity has come. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. I live under a waterfall of God's prosperity. I do every day. What are the memories that I cherish the most? How awesome it was when I got my first new pickup truck? No. I don't even remember what it was. The first new house? No. The first boat or the first big fish or the first 10-point buck? Well, I might remember the buck, but anyway. Not really. None of this. Outside my children and my family, what I will never forget. Hate it when God does this to me. But anyway, what I will never forget is the last food, getting down to the last food in the house. That last bowl of potato soup, and there was nothing else. And I had no way to get anything else. I was at the end of the road. And then seeing God fill the cupboard to overflowing with a miracle that came out of nowhere. Never forget. I forget all that other junk. And that's wonderful junk, okay? But compared to the journey and the experiences along the journey, I remember being on my deathbed with cancer and seeing God give me my life back in one night, all by himself. I'll never forget, against all odds. I remember God proving to me that he could do anything when he took away my cigarette addiction in one night. That's almost 40 years ago, and I've never craved one since, and I was a 3-pack-a-day addict like you wouldn't believe. God proved to me that night he could do anything. I remember how God brought me back after I lost everything. I'm 40 years old. I lost everything I had. I was on foot. I was homeless. I lost my ministry. I lost it all. And God brought it all back and more, just like he did for Job. I'll never forget those things. You see, the greatest moments of my life have been at my lowest points, seeing God step in and do the impossible. That's the kind of God that we serve. So if you're in the middle, if you're in the middle of this process somewhere, I want to encourage you this morning, because life is in the journey. It's not in the arrival. It's in going through the process. What you get to see, what you get to experience, and what you get to learn in that process. What you get to see God do in your life. Well, the Bible says this is about what shall be. Next, he tells us that fruit comes in its season, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. What is this fruit that he's talking about here? What is the fruit? The fruit is the purpose of the tree. Think about that for just a minute. A tree has value only for fuel, or lumber, or beauty, or fruit. Pretty much it. I guess for a pretty smell if it's apple blossoms. We, brothers and sisters, are the fruit trees. That's the kind of trees that we are. John 15, verse 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. What the tree produces, good or bad, that's its fruit. You see, it takes time to bring forth fruit. Seasons change. Ecclesiastes 3 and 1 says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. The verse says, his fruit and his season. There are many kinds of fruit. New believers getting saved, that's fruit. Amen? That's probably our favorite kind of fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is another kind of fruit. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Your paycheck is the fruit of your labor. Your kids turning out right is the fruit of your love. Stay planted and faint not, and you will bring forth fruit. Galatians 6 and 9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We need to look to the Lord, not to each other. You know what the Bible says about comparing ourselves to other people? Not wise. See, no two trees grow or produce fruit alike. These palm trees outside the building here, these were all about the same size, and they were all planted pretty much the same time. And now look at them. They're all different sizes. Some have survived, some have not. Some are just monsters growing all over the place, and others, they're just kind of yellow, and they're just kind of barely hanging on, but they're still there. Folks, stay planted and keep growing. You will bear fruit in due season. It goes on to say that his leaf shall not wither. Now here's a little science lesson for you. Structures within a leaf convert the energy in the sunlight into chemical energy that the plant can use as food. Chlorophyll is the molecule in leaves that uses the energy in sunlight to turn water and carbon dioxide into sugar and oxygen. This process is a big, long scientific word called photosynthesis. Photosynthesis. Some of you learned that in science class in high school or middle school or whichever school. In normal trees, they bud and the leaves grow to fullness, and they do their job of nourishing the tree by converting the light energy to sugar and oxygen, and then they wither and then they die. And then you get to break the ark, right? You know all about that. And then in their next growing season, after lying dormant for a long time, they do it again. God has a built-in mechanism in the believer that he's put in every believer. It's kind of like this as well. He's put something inside us that enables us to convert the light of God's word into life-sustaining nourishment for us that we survive by, that we live on every day. It's like Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by the word of God. He has put his spirit within us. And the spirit of God within us converts the light of God's word into life-sustaining nourishment that keeps us going when nothing else can do it. Now, what the leaf does for the tree, the spirit of God does in us for the believer. Only with us, you see, we're special. Because as long as we're loving the Lord and we're going, the Bible says our leaf does not wither. That makes us a little bit better than the leaves, doesn't it? And then we get to the last part. It says, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Whatsoever. That word speaks about choices. Does God have a specific one and only plan for your life? Don't you think about that for a minute. Does he? Does the Bible say that? You know, I don't find anywhere in the scriptures that God says that. God says that you make your plans and then he'll direct your steps. That's what he says. And boy, does he know how to do that. God does not have a specific one and only plan for your life. And you can't do anything else. There are hundreds of great things that you can do with your life. And you get to choose. Isn't that amazing? God, you say, God, what if I do that? God said, I like that. Well, what if I do that? I like that too. All you have to do, you just pick out something that's good and something that's right. Doesn't Psalm 37 say that God wants to give you the desires of your heart? That's those choices that, you know, man, this adds up to something wonderful. It means choose something wonderful and then go after it. And you will have God right there by your side. He says, whatsoever he doeth. And then there's that other word, doeth. This word speaks to the fact that you actually need to do something. Oh. You mean I actually need to do something? Yes, you do. Ecclesiastes 9 and 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, God says. Solomon said, behold, that which I have seen is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his what? All his doeth-ing, labor. That he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him for his portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his what? Yeah, this is the gift of God. Go do something. If it doesn't work out, then do something else. But don't just sit around wringing your hands waiting on God to do it for you. Now let me tell you something. When it comes to salvation, God didn't need your help. He did it, and he did it all, and he did it for you. But after that, we get to be called something the Bible refers to as co-laborers. Co-laborers. Jesus said, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, take my yoke upon you. Yokes make you co-laborers. It puts you pulling together as a team. Co-laborers means that God wants to work with you, not just do it for you. Choose something good and right and righteous and wonderful and productive and that contributes something to the world that needs what you have so bad, and go do it. And watch God become your co-laborer as he prospers you in the way which you've chosen. And then there's that last part, shall
prosper.
Shall prosper. Remember our missionary guest that came recently and preached from 2 Kings 4 about Elisha and that widow woman? She didn't have anything left. One pot of oil. All we have, me and my two sons, all we have is this one pot of oil. Elisha said, go borrow vessels, not a few. Now she could have thought, okay, a few is like three, so I'll borrow six. She was thinking a little small, if that be the case. You see, it doesn't say, but I personally, we studied that a little bit more, and I personally believe she went out and borrowed every empty vessel in that whole town. Probably went to the next village to see if there was any there. Do you understand that you have that same kind of a promise from God that she had? Do you realize what God has been teaching us and telling us in these verses that we've read today? You have the same kind of a promise. Read it. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Dream big. Dream big. Don't just... Listen, as long as it's good, as long as it's honest, as long as it's right, God is going to bless it. Go for lots of vessels. Don't go get you two or three or six or seven. Dream bigger. You got problems? Don't tell God how big your problem is. Go tell your problem how big your God is.
Amen.
He can handle all of your problems. And he desires to prosper you in all of these areas. Yeah, even money. I understand from the scriptures that that's the least of all of them. But it is included in it. God has an incredible journey for every one of his children. He also has the good news, what gospel means, the gospel, the good news of prosperity for every one of his children. Now you can go out and tell people that Brother Deal was preaching the prosperity gospel this morning. Can't believe he was doing that, but he was. My desire for you, and I know it's the desire of our Heavenly Father for you, is exactly the same as what the Apostle John expressed in 3 John verse 2. We read it earlier. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. And folks, my soul do prosper. Big time. And so is yours if you know Jesus this morning. Fall in love with God's word. Start learning the rules and the principles and go out there and get you some of God's prosperity that he has waiting for you. You don't have to stay where you are in life. You can prosper. Your family can prosper. It'll even rub off on your neighbors if you're not careful. God has good news for you this morning. Let's stand together. Of course, the best news of all.